The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host, Strigger, and as always, joined by my man from Tennessee, Dylan Fox.
That's me. You said my name. You said where I'm from. What more does anybody need to know, really? Because I'm so fired up. Speaking of Tennessee, big shout out to the Memphis Grizzlies right now in the NBA playoffs. My hometown team just doing amazing. I don't know if we'll end up winning the championship, but we have to win the championship in terms of most exciting playoff games, because there's been multiple comebacks. There's been last second wins, 26 point comebacks that the Grizzlies made at one point. And injuries, people getting clotheslined in the head on the floor, which happened two games in a row, our first two games of the Golden State series. Although one guy got actually dragged down by his jersey the first game, but then the other guy got clotheslined in the head. And unfortunately, it was our player who made it. Just a stupid, stupid player. Our worst player by far. But now that he's gone, or now that he was gone for that game, he'll probably be back. We were able to make a great comeback in game two, and Grizzlies and Golden State Warriors. And the Warriors are like, I'm sure you probably don't know about basketball that much, but to shorten this up, they're like the historical legacy championship team. They have Steph Curry, the best shooter in the game, Hall of Fame player, and we're more like an underdog young team. You know, this is our first time. This is our first time at the dance, so to speak, in terms of any kind of realistic chance to win anything. And we're kind of going back and forth at it. At first, it was respectful. I've always enjoyed the Warriors' style of play. But with all the physical play, it's been a tough series so far already with the two games. But I love watching the team. Nashville Preds in the playoffs, too, for hockey. We got completely obliterated in our first game because we're missing our goalie, Juuse Saros, from Finland. And the Juuse Man clearly means a lot to this team, as we lost 6-0 in the first game. Or not 6-0, we actually did get a goal. But it does not look as positive for the Preds right now, unfortunately. So Memphis standing tall in Tennessee once again, the number one city. But the number one thing is not basketball or hockey. It has to be pro wrestling.
And it has to be.
Here to talk about
right now. It has to be pro wrestling, especially during this time of the year. Looking over to Japan, of course, there is Golden Week. For those not familiar with the term Golden Week, Golden Week is a week in the Japanese calendar which is highlighted by four public holidays. And people, of course, tend to take their vacation days in a fashion like that they get the entire week off, and lots of offices, like I was told, are closed as well. There are a lot of festivities, and wrestling promotions are running up and down the country. Kuroken Hall is becoming a hotbed. Yokohama Budokan is the new place to run. We talked about it a couple of shows ago. In Japan, the population usually doesn't have as many vacation days as, for example, compared to European countries. I actually have no idea how it is in the USA, but the Japanese, they usually don't have as many.
Yeah, I guess USA, you'd have like Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's. If it's a big holiday, you'll usually get a pretty decent day off. But it's not that many, maybe a week or two total a year, like holidays.
Yeah.
This seems about right.
We are actually recording this show on Kodomo no Hi. It's Children's Day, May 5. Show is going to be released a little bit later, of course. But we are going to browse through a lot of what happened during Golden Week. And Dylan, I want to start with some independent promotions that ran over the last couple of days, starting with Osaka Pro, Zeus version of Osaka Pro, of course. And Dylan, the man himself, he has become the new Osaka Pro champion. He defeated the former champion, the Evil Bear, Katsuaki Mihara. Mihara is a guy that pretty much is the independent version of Shigehiro Irie, you could say. Both from his size and from his approach to wrestling, he's very comparable to him. Zeus now beat him in the final stretch of their launching business shows. They did three shows in the Asalea Taisho Hall in Osaka with a card that was, in for all three shows, very reminiscent of the original Osaka Pro. You had Super Delphin, Kuishin Bokamen, The Bodyguard, Ebbe-san, Tiger's Mask, Billy Ken Kid, Takuya Kida, Ultimate Spider Jr., Tsubasa, Black Buffalo, all these core Osaka Pro guys you had on the card, and you had also some younger guys. They introduced two new gimmicks with Yoichiro Osaka and Ares, and they also have Yuto Kikuchu and Tatsuya Matsufusa, two younger guys from the Osaka scene on their roster. They also use Toru, who has become a staple in the independent scene all over Japan. So at first, the first glance of what Zeus is trying to accomplish with Osaka Pro is looking very good, actually. And they went back from calling the Osaka Pro Championship the Osaka Openweight title. That is the name that it had for the last couple of years. And now they went back to calling it the Osaka Pro Championship because they are introducing a new championship with the Osaka Light Heavyweight Championship. And you can go up to our Twitter at Eastern Lariat, where I retweeted some photos of the new championship belts, and they look very, very shiny, Dylan.
Listen, first of all, Eastern Lariat on Twitter, that is your headquarters for title belt pictures.
Absolutely.
First
yes.
of all, in all the seriousness, though, I am a huge fan of title belts. Even when I was a kid, I thought that was like one of the coolest parts of wrestling. So even now, I still feel that way. And even, you know, Osaka Pro just coming back, new company, they're already coming in stylish. OPRO, like I said, I think I've said this before, but when I first started watching Japanese wrestling, I was a really big fan of Osaka Pro and what they were doing. The first go-around, you know, 10, 12 years ago, whatever. You know, I used to follow them pretty closely. So this, of all the indie promotions, this is probably one of my favorites, especially now coming back under Zeus, and an Osaka Pro original right now, bringing it back. And it has a lot of the same guys just 10 years later, like Hub and Billy Kid and Tiger's Mask. Hey, Tiger's Mask, he's even in All Japan, but now he makes time for OPRO as well. And I really appreciate that. Toru.
Exposing gimmicks here on air. Can't believe it.
Oh, I mean, nobody would have known that. But yes, maybe we need to put him on a milk carton or whatever. Like, but yeah, he's a very talented wrestler going in there. But they got Buffalo in there too on their recent show. He was one of the staples of Osaka Pro as well. So you're getting all the guys you've seen if you're a fan before. And now with a new title, like you said, very nice. It seems like he put some money into this, and that's always nice to see. And what's better when you have a very nice title, unlike the one that I won, which was just like a replica Intercontinental title or something, that just painted over and put on it to make it look different? So if they had done that, that would have been really cheesy. But instead, they have a real title with OPRO title, and it's great. Can't wait to see the lightweights. Just hope I can watch it one of these days.
Yeah, so there actually are some shows. Gaora TV picked up Osaka Pro. They are not broadcasting complete shows, but they are doing some digest shows of the shows that they already ran. They did two shows for their shows at the beginning of April, And now I'm just looking at the Gaora page. They actually have a time slot on May 19th for a 90-minute show. So maybe they'll broadcast a full show. We'll see. And they actually have another one on May 31st, also 90 minutes. So we'll have to wait and see what Gaora TV broadcasts there. I was able to watch the first two shows of what they did. They did shows at the outer field of Osaka Jo Hall, so an outdoor show, and they had that filmed with a drone from above. They had a very big, very large crowd for that show. That looked very cool. Looked like a promotion that is on the rise, and they are really doing things right, it seems, for the moment. Not running too big of a building, just taking it slow, just building their roster, and just coming back as a promotion that it wasn't. I always said that it wasn't a dead promotion. It always ran a couple of shows a year, but truth be told, it was basically a shell of itself. But now it seems like Zeus has revitalized the scene of Osaka.
Yeah, I actually watched one of those digest shows myself. The one for the one they did in March. Which is like, the pre-show show, pre-launch battle, whatever.
Yes.
But yes, those are digest shows there. It had a good glimpse of all of these people we're talking about, pretty much. Emerson was on that first one, too. He wasn't on the latest show. But still, it was nice to see him back in that gimmick, too. There, I will have to say that. I'll hopefully see more of Emerson in the future. But yeah, Osaka Pro doing good things. Big fan. And I wish them nothing but success. Although I do hope Zeus is also an X in some of these mystery deals going forward as well.
Oh, yeah. There is going to be one where we can talk about that. Yes, absolutely. Another promotion, another local company, is doing good business as well. That is Pro Wrestling Heat Up, Katsuhiro Tamura's promotion. That's a promotion from Kawasaki. And they were founded after Style E folded. I think we've talked about them briefly on one or two prior shows, but not like into deep. Katsuhiro Tamura not only founded this promotion, but he also founded a new dojo where he has been training a lot of the roster that Heat Up is using at the moment. For example, their new champion, Daisuke Kanehira, he beat Mitsuya Nagai for their double title, which is a very weird title that they have going. They have their own championship, the Heat Up Universal title, but they also have the PWL World title. That is a title from a British promotion called Pro Wrestling Live. And when Katsuhiro Tamura was in England in 2019, he won their inaugural World title tournament, and he never returned to Britain ever again after that. But he is scheduled, he and Kanehira actually are scheduled to come to Europe this summer, I learned. Unfortunately, WXW, I think, didn't get to book them, but we'll see how that goes on in the future. Maybe like they get them eventually. So I'm guessing they'll return to Portugal, where they also had a company with that they promoted some shows and some matches. Maybe to England as well. Maybe they could take the title back to England, which would be nice for the company, I guess. Long story short, they ran a Curricon Hall show. One of the... Let me count this here. 9 Curricon Hall shows over the course of the last 6 days in Tokyo. Heat Up ran a show where, as I said, Daisuke Kanehira won the championship. They drew a crowd of 650 people, an official crowd of that. It was their second Curricon Hall show in history. So, like, running Curricon Hall, of course, always is a stamp of approval, you could say. When you're a company that gets to run Curricon Hall, that shows that you had some growth and that you're able to run the most important place in Japanese pro wrestling and be successful at it as well, like Heat Up was. So this card really looked nice on paper with the Universal Tag Team title match on there too, where Akira Joe and Yusaku Ito defeated Daiki Shimomura and Nobuhiro Shimatani and Billy Ken Kid and Tamura in a three-way match to crown the new champions. Scheduled for this show also was Tatsumi Fujinami. Of course, he couldn't make it because of his COVID disease right now. He was replaced by the best possible replacement in Yoshiaki Fujiwara. So it looks like a fun card, and I hope that we get to see some of that card. Dylan, have you been following some Heat Up?
You know, I've actually always been a longtime fan of Heat Up. Tamura, I think, is a really talented wrestler. And his style of people he trains always appeals to me. We've talked about Kanahira before as one of our favorites. I never really got to break out, but, you know, a lot of these guys, like a lot of the guys in Great, like Izuka and Izuchi, they came from Hita originally, and they're getting a chance to show themselves a little bit more. And they're a company that's always quality on the indies. They actually, a while ago, like I think a couple of years ago, they actually were on like indie wrestling TV.
They were, and, yes. I saw a show on that, yes.
Yeah, it was only a few shows, but like they actually did try to do a little thing. Like you talked about the deal in Portugal as well. Tamura tries hard, even in a kind of a very small position in Japan, and I appreciate that effort. And like you said, it paid off with a Corcoran Hall show. You know, the rating for the attendance or how it was listed was actually good, too, which is very nice to see. You know, like I said, Kanahira, to me, out of all the indie guys, he's one of the ones I wish most would get a bigger spotlight because I just think he's really talented, such a great worker. And I think if everybody saw him, they'd really like him. But like you said, they have a lot of guys on the roster. They bring in a lot of indie dudes as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, people like Billy Kinkid was on the last show.
Yeah, he's getting the first title shot now for the Heat Up Universal title for Kanahira.
Yeah, and he uses a lot of those indie type of guys as well. But it's just a good company. Again, I wish it would air more so we could watch it more because I actually, like I said, I really enjoy Kanahira especially. But they have other guys too on there, you know, that like, you know, it would be nice to watch sometimes. So they're a good company.
They do have their own YouTube channel where you can watch some of the matches. They, for example, uploaded the final of their Dragon Cup where Mitsuya Nagai originally defeated Daisuke Kanehira. That's on YouTube, for example. So you can watch that match there. But except for that, it's really hard to follow them as a company because they're not like available on the regular streaming services that go around in our circles.
But you know they have a lot of quality workers. So if you catch them in any kind of way, it's worth checking out because like I said, they do have some quality guys.
A company that is very available for us is Kyushu Pro Wrestling, and if you've been a long-time listener to this show, you know that Kyushu Pro is one of my companies that I love the most, just because it is such a unique idea of a company. When Ryota Shikutsun left K-Dojo, he was a trainee, one of the original trainees of Takamichi Noku, he went back to his home region of Fukuoka, and there wasn't really a pro wrestling company going on there. And he founded Kyushu Pro Wrestling, and he founded it as a non-profit organization. So the promotion is really based around entertaining the Japanese society, and of course, mostly in the Fukuoka Kyushu region. They are not only like running shows in traditional venues, they are also going to the community, going out to the community to try to help develop the entire community of the Kyushu region. They are going to retirement homes, they are going into schools, they are helping out here and there where it is needed. So the Kyushu Pro Wrestlers, much like, for example, in the Tohoku region, the Sendai Girls roster does a lot for the community as well. So connecting with the local community has helped Kyushu Pro over the years to grow a steady fan base. They usually run shows with three matches on there, but they draw really good crowds for these shows. In non-pandemic times, they have drawn crowds to these three match shows in the 500 region, and now still they are doing like 300, 400 fans for these local shows in these smaller towns where they tour the region. And for example, this past Sunday, they also had a show. They ran, this is one of their main two buildings. Usually they run Nishitetsu Hall in Fukuoka, a building we talked about on our last show, and now they ran across Fukuoka, an arena that is also used by Dragon Gate, and Kyushu Pro is drawing similar numbers as Dragon Gate is in that same building. And they put all their matches up on YouTube. They have now decided to put the matches on individually. In the past, they put on their whole shows. I just guess that for financial reasons, they chose that way, that they think that the individual videos get more clicks than the one video of the show, which may be right, actually. So as we're talking now, I've seen two of the matches. I've seen the UWF Rules tag team match. Minoru Tanaka and Suma Watanabe defeated Hitamaru Sasaki and Manabu Hara. And the Kyushu Pro main, the Kyushu Pro title match was in the main event. Genkai defended against Gaina. So those are the two matches I saw. Really good stuff there, especially with the UWF Rules tag team match, of course. Genkai, after the main event, was challenged by Kodai Nosaki. That's one of the success stories of Kyushu Pro Wrestling. One of their own trainees that has been built up so well now that he is challenging for the big title. And he's getting his title shot against Genkai. Yeah, and just very good stuff up and down these cards, Dylan. And not only that, but also they are getting another step. They are doing another step forward. They are going to run Tokyo Kuroken Hall for the first time on October 4 for the start of their Global Tag League, which is, of course, an incredible pun between global and local. So they are using local talent from all over Japan, from local companies all over the country, as well as international talent for that league. They did that last year as well. And I'm incredibly proud of where they came from and where they are now, being able to run Kuroken Hall. They had their first show in Tokyo at the beginning of the year in January in Shinjuku Face, and now they are upgrading to Kuroken Hall, which shows that this company is healthy and has had a steady growth over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I always enjoy those shows. I follow them a lot. There was another good tag, I think maybe a couple weeks ago now. It was Tanaka and Soma versus Sasaki and Nozaki as a tag in there, and it was really good.
That was one of these shows that I mentioned, these three match shows, where they usually have an undercard comedy match, then a tag match, and another singles match, and that's it, basically.
Yeah, like you said, they started uploading the videos singularly on YouTube. On there, so you know, you can check out, pop in one on any match. Anytime Sasaki is in a match, it's definitely worth watching, in my opinion, because it's always going to be a shoot style type of match, pretty much, and it's always going to be awesome because he's very talented. In that match you were talking about on the 5-1 show with Tanaka and Soma and Manabu Hara as well, I always enjoy seeing Hara. That's like one of my guys,
yes.
Like from the old days. On there, so to see him still kicking around, he's not even that old either. This is kind of like the crazy part. He's like the Japanese Rene Dupree, where everybody talks about how young he is, even though he's been around for 20 years. You know? But a very talented worker.
Kind of lost in the shuffle, the guy. Whenever he pops up, we talk about him on this show.
Yeah, that goes back to our Big Mouth Loud episode, because you were very impressed by him on that episode.
Yes, Manabu Hara, whenever we talk about him like as one of the best kept secrets, because he's just not working these bigger shows. Just looking at his resume, he's working Bartos Cafe, independent shows, like these produce shows, Soul Mode. He's working Pro Wrestling Magic Box, so very tiny companies, actually.
Yeah, you know, another one, they didn't upload his match yet, but Umeda, I think, is a really talented guy as well.
They should get him into these UWF matches.
Oh, totally. I would love to see that, if possible. He had a lot of prospects a few years ago, but actually had to move back because of his real-life circumstances.
Right.
He wanted to run his parents' noodle shop or something, I think is correct. So he is a guy that is very talented. He doesn't wrestle that much anymore, but whenever he does, check him out. He's really good. Him and Sasaki, to me, are the Kyushu Pro guys you want to watch. And they have a lot of people they bring, like these great guys, too. Listen, Minoru Tanaka, everybody already knows he's great. I don't need to tell you that. You know that already.
Yes, of course.
So we know that you want to watch his matches. Soma, I really love him. I think he's great in these UWF matches. I think he really shows a very high wrestling IQ in terms of, you know, I mean, this guy started out as a luchador character, you know, high-flying type of dude. And he's totally managed to bring his own take on a UWF style in a very good way, and I always love watching him whenever he does it. So yeah, that match was very good. All the guys in there are good, and Kyushu Pro is a fun company. You know, whenever you've got a little time, and now especially now that they're releasing them one match at a time, you can kind of get a feel for who the best guys and who your favorites are, and just watch some of their matches whenever you got the time. You know, normally they're not super, super long or anything like that. Usually in between, you know, some of the undercards are shorter, like 5 minutes or whatever, yeah. But normally between about 10 to 20 minutes, you know, they never really go past that.
Right. Exactly. I also want to shout out Kodai Nosaki once again, because he was in that UWF Rules tag team match, and by God, I thought that he used his size and his body so well in this UWF circumstances, just holding down his opponents and giving out big slaps and big chops and just being a nasty, nasty big brawler. That was a great take on the UWF style.
Yeah, that was the one from a couple of weeks ago, and it was really good. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Nozaki, to explain him, he's kind of like this shortish guy who's probably like 275 pounds.
Yeah, maybe. I said it before with Mihara being the Osaka version of Shigeyori Irie, and Kodai Nozaki basically is the Osaka version of Gaina.
Who also wrestles in Kyushu Pro.
Yes.
Yeah, so he was in the title match too that we watched. So yes, very similar. I feel like whoever, you know, I feel like they have a taste in their guys. If you are like Gaina, you have a home in Kyushu Pro, which is a great thing. We love Gaina. Yep. So we want more Gaina, and we want more of Kodai Nozaki, because we like him too. And I like him too. He was very good in that match. I agree with you.
Gaina is a real belt collector in Japanese pro wrestling, Dylan. I don't know if you saw that picture that I retweeted, but right now he is the Niigata Openweight Champion, and he has the tag team titles for Osaka Pro, for Michinoku Pro, and also the UWA tag team title, and there was one more belt. I think he has like 4 or 5 belts right now.
Yeah, so as it said here, would he count as like the Osaka Pro tag champion, because him and Hub had a tag team?
Yes.
Does that still count?
I do think that still counts. I've not read otherwise, but still has the belt.
Prolific title reign right there with my man Hub on there. Yes, I do agree with what you said, that Gaina is equally as good as Kenny Omega, and I'm glad you brought that up as well. So let it be known that he said that. But I agree that Gaina is a very talented worker, and a long-time favorite as well. You know, like I said, anybody, the Hub, as it's known, of wrestlers is always going to appeal to me.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So, Kyushu Pro, great promotion. Another promotion that is on the rise steadily and is getting a lot of praise in our circles as well. Of course, Ganbare Pro Wrestling, they ran their Love Phantom Show in Kuroken Hall, drawing a crowd of 380 fans, whereas in the main event, the culmination of a great story that spanned over the last couple of months came to its culmination when Yumehito Imanari defeated Tatsuhito Takaiwa to become the second Spirit of Ganbare World Openweight Champion, another beautiful belt, by the way. So Imanari now leading the ways for Ganbare Pro. He was challenged by Ken Oka after the match. Ken Oka on that show defeated Muscle Sakai. And Imanari is now going to defend the belt on their Wrestle Sakigahara show, which is taking place on July 10 in Otawatt Gymnasium. So a decent upsize for Ganbare Pro, coming from Itabashi Green Hall, going to Kuroken Hall, and now to Otawatt. That's going to be a stretch, Dylan, I would say. Even though they've grown in popularity, I don't know if that is the right move at the moment.
They're a small company. At the end of the day, like that, whenever I think of indie, they're kind of like the one that I think of. And a lot of that popularity is not necessarily in Japan. It's more among English speakers, because they're on the Wrestle Universe app. Like they have that little range, and they always work with DDT guys a lot too. I bring them even on their last show or whatever. They had like Brooks was on like the show or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so they have guys. I wouldn't anticipate much success for their shows, but you know, they're a fun company. Like if you like DDT style, then you'll probably like Gambari Pro. Very similar. Like Imanari too, he wrestles in DDT as well, part of Pheromones there. So you have
but
that.
But that is very, very different.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't, yeah. He wrestles his normal gimmick. He was here first and was actually really good, and I liked him a lot. And then he went to DDT and went with Pheromones, and I didn't like him anymore. But you're right, he does wrestle a normal style here. They have guys like Keisuke Ishii, who's a DDT guy. Soma Takao used to wrestle in DDT too. I've actually been really enjoying his story with Soma and Shota, like Romance Dawn reforming. I'm a big sucker for those kind of storylines where like longtime partners reunite. I always enjoy those. So I've actually really enjoyed him, and I don't hate Soma, but I don't love him either. He's kind of like me and Rob always talk about this on our Patreon shows. Like 6 out of 10 wrestler is like Soma Takao in every way. Everything about him is solid, but nothing spectacular. But I've really enjoyed him wrestling with Shota and their tag team. So they have a lot of guys. Koki Wasaki's a good talent. Watase too. I was so disappointed when he went to Gambari though, because I felt like he was making so much progress in DDT. But he's a good worker now. Good indie company again. There's a lot of comedy stuff. Usually they have like Joshi matches too on there. They have like a Joshi division. It's not like a big or anything, but
yeah,
they make a point to have that. Yappy was on one of their shows.
Absolutely. And on this show they had Venue on their show. Yuki Kamifuku and Asuka. They defeated Yuna Manase and Yuri. And they had also Harukaze and Yamagata, so two Yoshi matches with some male assistants as well.
Harukaze is really talented.
She is. She is. And a big deal, Dylan, is that after the semi-main of that show, Keisuke Ishii and Koki Iwasaki defeated Shuichiro Katsumura and Mitsuki Watase, one Naoya Nomura of All Japan Pro Wrestling fame showed up. And he wants to create a team with Mitsuki Watase. And what can I say, Dylan? Let's fucking go!
That's cool. And I had predicted when he left All Japan that DDT would be his home. Gambari Pro feels like such a small pond for him to come into. But he's been gone for a while, too. So it might be actually a little bit better to start a little bit smaller. Yeah. It's better than what he was doing, those like shows he started to do a month or two ago, which was like on a mat somewhere and stuff. It was very small, like very small. And I was like, man, this guy could be doing so much if he wanted to. But now in Gambari Pro, him and Watase, that's fun and all, but I do hope he moves up to a bigger spot so sooner rather than later, because he's a guy that has so much going for him. But most importantly, I think what it really matters most, what the people care about most, Striga, is that it means that my draft pick of Nomura with my last pick in January pays off once again. And he will have many great matches going forward against the likes of Ishii and Iwasaki and many others across Gambari Pro and hopefully DDT going forward.
There could be many great matches in Gambari with their current roster. So that is a promotion that you should really look out for if you have Wrestle Universe. Their shows are usually under 2 hours long. This one is probably going to be a little bit longer, but usually not above 2.5 hours. So very easy to watch, very fun promotion, good vibe. So that is Gambari Pro. And as we're talking about the good vibe, Dylan, I want to move to the Yoshi section here of the show. A promotion that always creates good vibe is Tokyo Yoshi Pro. They also ran Kuroken Hall on May 3rd, same day as Gambari Pro. I have not seen the show yet. In the main event, Shoko Nakajima defended her title against Hyper Misao. You watched the show, I think. What did you think?
That I did, Striga. That
you
I did. I like this show well enough, and I always will enjoy. Like I said, I think one of my favorite things is the first defense of a new champion that they brought in there. And after Miyu Yamashita's reign, I think that I wanted to see how things would go with Shoko. We had our match last month, and now we're here with Hyper Misao. And it's almost like a completely different thing here with Misao as more of a comedy character getting the spot up. But it had a good build to it at the same time, right? Because they've had this feud for years and years. So it was actually a very logical challenger to have. I enjoyed the match, but, you have to know what you're getting into as well here, going in there. But the show itself was actually really fun, I would say, in general. I don't want to go too crazy because we have a lot to talk about, to be honest. But the main event was good. The semi-main event was really good, too.
I see it is rated at 8.06 on Cage Match based on 30 votes now.
Yeah, that was the best match of the show to me, in my opinion. Maki Ito and Miyu Yamashita versus Karashita and Moka Miyamoto. Miyamoto, I'm so glad they're giving her a little bit of a push because I've always loved her.
Like, she's very good.
Yeah, like an opening card act and everything. But yeah, that was very good. Also, Reika Saiki had an exhibition match on the show. It was very short.
And I miss her so much, Dylan.
It was so great to see her back. That was so cool. It's like, it's one of those things that, you know, you're not, you know, it's 3 minutes, it's an exhibition, it's not going to be the match of the year, but it's about just seeing her again and seeing her wrestle again, and hopefully she could take some kind of step forward in wrestling again or get back into that pool. Maybe she's, you know, testing the waters a little bit, you know, dipping her toe in the water, and now she can wrestle a little bit more because she's someone that everyone loves who's seen her pretty much. And I absolutely enjoy her wrestling, even at 3 minutes. I thought it was a lot of fun to watch her in Indo. And the opening match was a tag title match.
Very unusual booking, actually, from TJP.
Yeah, why was that the opener?
I think because Yuka Sakazaki had a plane to catch.
Well, yeah, it's known that she's going to be in AEW
soon.
But why keep the title on her? Then I guess so it would be the question. But maybe that's just a sign that it might not be very long.
Exactly.
That she's in AEW. But yes, yeah, so I do love the idea that she had a plane to catch that couldn't have been held off for an hour or two. Like, it had to happen when it happened. But yes, that match was good. I thought the semi-main tag was better, though. But shout out to Free Wi-Fi. What a team name right there with Hikari Noah. Fun. Yeah, and now at Kakuta. So yes, fun, goofy match. Again, that was more like a very chaotic, silly match than the Simba main event, which was, in my opinion, like a straight up great match. But yeah, good show. The main event will maybe be a little bit polarizing, but it was a good match. They Misawa worked pretty good in this main event scene. It wasn't like super comedy. But they did a little bit because, you know, it's, you know, they have to have a little because it's Misao, you know. But it was mostly a regular match, and you got to know what you're getting in for. They had the rivalry. It made sense. It was well done. It's not going to win any Show of the Year awards, but a fun show to watch.
Nice.
And really good, too, at Corcoran Hall.
Yes, that sounds good. Yes, they drew a crowd of 695. It was a sold-out Corcoran Hall for the setting that they used. Of course, other promotions use a different setting where you can put in more fans, but for TJPW, that sounds like a good drawing card. And there was a lot more Yoshi shows in Corcoran Hall, and I'm trying to catch up with some of those. Seed Ring ran on April 29 with Fujimoto against Nakajima. They also had Asuka and Makoto versus Ryo Mizunami and Yoshiko in the main event. Then Marvelous ran their 6th anniversary show with the new crowning of AAAW Tag Team Champions with Itsuki Aoki and Rin Kadokura defeating Kaoru Ito and Tomoko Watanabe in the tournament finals. And Dylan, Rin Kadokura announced that she married the eldest son of Akira Hokuto and Kensuke Sasaki, which was an amazing revelation.
Yes, many people thought it might have been Nakajima. But no, it was their birth son.
Not wrestling son.
Their birth son that they had. And he, that's a great, that's a great, yeah, maybe Katakura, who better to learn from as a mother-in-law than Akira Hokuto?
Absolutely.
I literally just watched one of her matches, like the other day, as we recorded this, her versus Manami Toyota from 1993. Very good match, too, for the record. But the Dangerous Queen, always a great inspiration to the next generation of wrestlers. And it will now continue with Rin Katakura as well.
Looking forward to that show because they also had a AAAW singles title match with Takumi Iroha defending against Yu. So Shihiro Hashimoto's tag team partner, and Yu and Hashimoto, of course, have been in a story with the Marvelous Girls. So that should be a fun match, as well as the 10-minute time limit draw between Maria and Iko Kawahata. So that should be a A very good show to watch. And the Diana show sounds super mad, Dylan. I don't know if you've seen the lineup. Of course, in the main event, Ayako Sato won the Diana World title from Nagisa Nosaki. And Luminous, still the Diana Tag Team Champions, Haruka Omosaki and Miyuki Takase. They had a 10-minute draw against the Stardom team of Mina Shirakawa and Unagi Sayaka of Cosmic Angels. But the greatest match from the lineup, actually, Dylan, on this show was Aja Kong and Masato Tanaka against Kyoko Inoue and Osamu Nishimura. What the fuck?
Well, you know, maybe just a favor to Kyoko doing the show and Diana. So. Like, just something she wanted to do, you know, just for fun. And I'm sure it will be a spectacle.
Absolutely. I've already seen that the show has found its way into the interwebs, so that's definitely going to be something that I will be checking out.
You should check out that Seed Ring show that you talked about the other day, because that Fujimoto and Nakajima match was a great, great match. So entertaining between the two. Fujimoto is always a great wrestler, and she's heading off to marriage pretty much for a few months. Mm-hmm. Nakajima is, I always say she's one of the greatest wrestlers of any gender or whatever, is Arisa Nakajima. Just so talented, such a great wrestler. They've had a lot of matches in the past, but they haven't done it in a while, so to see it again was a lot of fun between them, and I really enjoyed it. They had a match too on the show, Riko Kaiju versus Riko Kawahata. I love them, two of the best projects in Joshi, or prospects in Joshi, in my opinion. I love them both, but I will always have a special face for Kawahata. Her nickname, do you know this, as listed on her cage match?
I'm waiting.
Oh, it's the new style dreamer that dances on Earth and dances in the sky.
I love
what
it.
A nickname. How can you not love this? Very fun match between the two. Riko Kaiju is very talented as well. And the main event, Yoshiko, amazing fired up babyface in the main event, teaming with Ryo Mizunami versus Asuka and Makoto. You know, the Las Fresa team is very noteworthy in Seedling, but against Mizunami and Yoshiko, it works so well. Yoshiko's got new gear. She looks way different than if you haven't seen her in a while, to be honest with you. She's
I've seen her. Yes, that is crazy. Yeah.
Yes, like way different than she worked before. You will be surprised if you see this match. But it was very good. The semi-main between Fujimoto and Nakajima was the best match of the night, but all three of those were well worth watching. And you had a high-speed match on the undercard too. Sakushi Haruka, Chikayo, Nagashima, now Ishikawa, and Yurika Oka. It was fun, a little long. But any Sakushi match right now is at the top of my list to watch.
Yes.
When I have the time. So everyone watch them. Very good show, Seedling does. And very easy to watch, too. Like, the shows are never long. It's always, like, you know, five matches or something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, take 2 hours. You'll have some time left over, and you'll get some really good wrestling in between, too. That's a really good show. Everybody should watch. It's from April 29th. It's called Golden Moment. And it was golden.
It was. Apparently it was. It sounds like it. And Fujimoto and Nakajima also took it to Fujimoto's home promotion when one day later, actually, also in Kurikan Hall, Nakajima defended the Beyond the Sea singles title against Tsukasa Fujimoto. That was Ice Ribbon's most recent Kurikan Hall show. And then they had another big show in Yokohama Budokan, which was, as you said, Tsukushi Haruka, her retirement in Yokohama Budokan. They had basically a triple main event, you could say. Tsukushi first defended the Isaac's Infinity title against Asai. Then they had a tag team match with Arisa Nakajima and Hikaru Shida against Ibuku Hoshi and Tsukasa Fujimoto, because, as I said, she's also going away for marriage. And then in the main, they had a match, Hamuko Hoshi and Nanae Takahashi against the Drop Kickers, Tsukasa Fujimoto and Tsukushi Haruka. So that should be very fun once the show makes air.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that, honestly. I have so many emotions for all of that, but hopefully it was a great show, and, you know, everybody enjoys it. And Ice Ribbon, everyone support them as much as you can. They got a YouTube channel. They got a lot going on there. You know, hopefully Tsukasa can come back, and, you know, when she does, and everything will be great. You know, because there's a lot of talented wrestlers in there, a lot of young wrestlers, very fun style promotion, not always very serious, but a lot of fun to watch up and down, and they do a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, we'll see what their future holds without two of their main drawing cards without Fujimoto and Tsukushi. That remains to be seen.
It will now be the Maiko Ozaki era.
Let's hope so. She's good.
I wish it was. Yes, she is very good. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do going in there. They have a lot of people. More like Ibuki Hoshi. I still will hold on to that forever. But
they're both. They're both good, but Ibuki probably is better. Yes.
She's just younger, and actually a nice ribbon person. I think Ozaki is free, but
I think she might be. Yeah. I'm not sure, actually. Let's see. Yeah,
she's passing judgment. Yes. Oh, she is?
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Okay. Yes, I'm right. I know stuff. Wow. It's unbelievable. Yes. Many people who listen to the show have always questioned that, but now we have irrefutable proof that is true. But yes, always watch them. Very good stuff. And like I said, Tsukasa will be back. I truly believe that they will get through all of this retirements and everything, and everything will be looking to a brighter future going forward. But yes, watch that show when it comes out. I can't wait for it. Watch the match too. You talked about the show with Nakajima versus Fujimoto if you can. Always good stuff there. I do like that Fujimoto is getting to wrestle all of her favorites and win them on her way out. For again, she'll be back eventually, but still, hopefully everything goes good there. And glad we got to talk about some Joshi on today's show.
Oh, we're not finished, Dylan, because apparently you know your stuff. And so you can guide us through the finals of the Cinderella tournament, which was won by Mirai. She defeated Kokuma in the finals. Dylan, the Cinderella tournament, what did you think about that?
I thought that tournament was really good in general. Like, there was a lot of twists and turns in this tournament, to be honest with you, because by the end of the first round, like, my top three or four favorites to win were all eliminated. You know, whether it was Tom Nakano, Starlight Kid, all of them were gone. They eliminated Julia very early on in the tournament, and in a very fun match, by the way. If y'all haven't seen it, check out Koguma versus Julia. Like, it's a great mix of comedy and goofiness in their match. But it all came down to FCC, a great tag team, Koguma and Hazuki. They faced each other in the semifinals, and it was a good match they had there. You know, both of the semifinal matches were good, but you could tell that they were hanging back a little, you know, and that neither one of them were truly great. And pushing Koguma, I thought, was such an interesting deal, because Koguma actually advanced to the finals in a tournament to face Mirai. But I have to say, as somebody who's a longtime fan of Koguma, you know, I watched her when she was in her first run, when she was very young, and be like the high-speed person. She's a lot different now that she's grown up into a woman, you know, an adult. And she looks different, she wrestles different, but she's added something to her and really gotten over with the fan. This bear pose deal that she does is super fun, and I was very invested into the main event, or the semi-main event, rather, the title match was the main event. But the semi-main event was really good with Mirai and Koguma, if you were invested, because Koguma's whole style is, I'm going to do a lot of flash pins and try to win that way. Which I personally enjoy very much. I absolutely love that style with anybody, but she does it very, very well. Great comedic sense as well. Very wholesome person too. Like her comedy is very fun. Like, you know, if you have a little brother or a children or something like that, or a little sister, anybody can watch her matches and like be entertained by them. I feel like
that is a very good description. Yes, actually, and I thought it was a very good choice to pair her up with Hazuki, since both of them were returning to stardom, and they became a very good tag team instantly after their return. So that was a good choice. I thought it helped both to get back into the groove of stardom, to do this as a tag team. And now Koguma got her shine as a singles as well. Very good stuff, actually.
Especially Hazuki doing a wildly different gimmick than she did before she came in there as a pure babyface now.
Right.
Representing stars. Before, she was like the dark heel, so to speak. Black.
Reminiscent black. Of what Maya Yuki used to do when she was in OZ Academy, compared to her Snow White gimmick in Ice Ribbon.
Yes. Very good category there. They had a fun match. Neither of the matches are like you have to run out to see them, but they were all good, and it all built up to Mirai getting the win here, which I was very surprised by, to be honest with you. Not that I have any problem with that, too. I've seen a lot of people critical of Mirai lately, and I do not understand that at all. Because Mirai is a great performer, in my opinion. I absolutely love every since she came to Stardom, because I always believed in her talent, even in Tokyo Joshi Pro, but she never really got over any kind of hump there. But ever since she came to Stardom, new look, new style, she carries herself so well. And like that's something you can't really teach. She carries herself like a superstar, even though she hasn't really gotten there yet. But the crowd is starting to rally behind her. The fans were super into her clapping gimmick that she's done here. She's really found a way to get over in this situation they did. And I thought that she has done a phenomenal job up and down. Like every match she's had, I really enjoy her. She's been one of my favorite people to watch, actually, over the first quarter of the year. So the final was very enjoyable, very fun. Again, only 12 minutes, too, so it's not a long final. They got through everything they needed to, and it was a really good match. I completely enjoyed that a lot. And I am totally fine with Mirai winning, and I think that she has a lot going for her. I just was surprised because they had her challenge for the title earlier in the year, and now she's aligned with Shuri in God's Eye, the best faction in wrestling right now. No surprise Shuri's leading it, but surprising win, but cool. I'm totally for this. Young person getting put over more, getting another shot at something. You have somebody who's very talented. You have more focus on God's Eye, which is great for everyone in the company. And I think the whole tournament was good. Very well booked, very surprising, up and down. So none of the matches went long enough to really be super special, but you had a lot of fun to watch. You know, it's a 10-minute time limit on all the matches, so it's meant to be a frantic. You can watch all the matches and be satisfied with them. So I love the tournament. I think the match everyone was talking about most was the high-speed title match, Azumi versus Mei Suruga. And many people have called this a match of the year level match. And I really enjoyed it myself. I thought it was a great match, you know. And what do you expect with these two in there? You know that they're going to bring it. Azumi, I think, is one of the top wrestlers, again, anywhere in the world, in my opinion. I think she's such a spectacular talent, totally understands her role and everything she does. Her match with Momo in the tournament was like a 3-minute match. And they told three separate stories all in the same match. It's like they had three matches in the span of 3 minutes. That's how good she is. And Momo as well deserves it, but especially Azumi, I think, is such a spectacular talent. I absolutely love her wrestling so much. Mei Suruga, who doesn't like Mei Suruga? Let's be real about this right now. So it was a great opponent for them to put in there. Stardom's really gone all in on using other promotions in their shows lately. You know, you talked about the Diana thing, Marvelous, Gato Move here. They're dipping their toes all over the place.
Yeah,
here
they used to be very exclusive. Actually, they used to only use their own roster, but now they have branched out and are using wrestlers from different companies, which is a very interesting approach. And apparently, is benefiting both sides, not only them but also the promotions that they're working with.
Absolutely, and it benefits Mei Suruga to have a match like this in front of more eyes than she would usually get. Over 2,000 people at Oda City.
I've just looked it up. That was, I think, the biggest drawing card in Ottawa since the pandemic started.
Oh, and we've seen that a lot lately with some biggest things we'll talk about a little later since the pandemic started going in there. But yes, Stardom especially has been very successful throughout all of their times, pandemic or not. So, yeah, everybody watched that match. It was very good, you know, as you would expect. Just a mix of high-speed wrestling and kind of comedy and wildness. So if you're a fan of that style especially, that, you know, that Gato Move style, you're really going to love this. Because it was kind of like blending Gato Move and more, like, serious Azumi Stardom style. They were able to blend it so well. I will say this. One thing that's a minor critique of not just this match, but Azumi's matches in general. I think ever since they've started work with Bushiroad, and we've seen like Milano work with these wrestlers training, and you see more of a New Japan influence on some of their matches, things are very smooth in all of their matches. Like everything they did in this match was like hyper smooth, like no flaw or anything like that in them. But I actually prefer if there's more of a struggle to their matches, and Azumi used to have that a lot. Both this match and the one versus Starlight, they had spectacular sequences and very great wrestling and very smooth and well done, but there wasn't a sense of struggle that we used to have in some of these matches. So I wish that they would knock that off, to be honest. Because it's more like this, like the Okada style of wrestling, very smooth, hyper.
I get it. Everything
perfect, but I don't want it that way. I'd rather there be a struggle, but it was still phenomenal for what it was. Again, minor irk on my part, just like very minor complaint there. At the main event with Shuri and Himeka, very enjoyable match as well. I liked it. It was exactly what you expect between them. The only problem is that there was no way I thought Himeka was going to win this title. So I was a little upset about that. But very good stuff there. Great finish here. Another New Japan style match, kind of, to be honest with you. But with Shuri in there, you know it's going to be the best that it could possibly be. And Himeka, very good talent. As well, still very young, has a lot to go. They've gone hot and cold with her, it feels like, over the years, because she started off very, like, super pushed. You know, she was in the finals of the tournament, the 5-star Grand Prix, and she had a lot going for her. And I didn't think she actually did that great when they did that. Her tag team run with Micah was really good and still really good, and she's a very good talent. I loved her in the indies. But it feels like they're starting to warm up on her again. They see something in her, and I don't blame her because she has a lot of great talent to her, a unique style in the promotion. So good stuff there. It didn't jump off at me as any kind of, like, you know, match of the year or anything like that, but a very good run in Shuri's title reign again. Probably the lesser that she's had so far. I'm pretty sure I liked all of her title defenses better than this one, but still not any kind of critique at all. It's a good match, one well worth watching. Watch all of the Cinderella tournament matches, the high speed title match, and the World of Stardom title match, the red belt match. Really, the whole show was pretty good throughout there. You know, it wasn't a lot of filler or anything like that. Every match had a purpose. You know, you had the Future Stardom title matches, the two Cinderella semifinals. You had this crazy gauntlet match with everybody that's not on the card, pretty much, in there, like all six woman teams. Cosmic Angels got the win in that one, too. A fun match there. You had the high speed, the finals, and then the red belt. So no filler, no, like, weird tag match, like eight-man tag that doesn't mean anything. It was the whole card up and down was very good, and I enjoy that part of it, too. You can watch the whole show and be satisfied instead of, like, oh, I'm going to skip the first five matches, like another promotion we'll talk about later. You skip the whole first five matches, and you didn't miss anything. Here, you actually got something if you watch the whole show. So I appreciate that. Really good show, and a very good promotion right now at Stardom. They're doing a lot of great things.
Sounds incredible for Stardom, so keep us updated with that, of course. And from there, Dylan, it's time, I guess, we move to Pro Wrestling NOAH. They also ran on the same day as Stardom did. They ran Sumo Hall on the 29th and on the 30th. I've only seen the first show of their Sumo Hall double shot yet, the junior show.
Your part.
This show, I want to say the individual matches were mostly good, whereas the semi-main event for the junior tag team title was just a 12-minute match stretched over 30 minutes where they essentially had this one story going, that they were going for the legs. That Ogawa and Ridgeway were going for Yohei and Atsushi Kotoge, mostly Kotoge's legs. It was a long match. The main event was a long match. I thought I liked most of the matches on the card, but the pacing of the show was so odd, and a lot of the stuff felt so weirdly placed and off. For example, they just, for whatever reason, they did this 20-minute time limit draw between Yuya Susumu and Kotaro Suzuki on the undercard.
Awful match. I thought that was a terrible performance by Susumu.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Why? I mean, why do you do this match with this guy that apparently is now signing with your company? And they played off this storyline from a year ago where he came in as a masked guy, and now that apparently is a grudge match, but it ends in a time limit draw, which was a completely weird decision. Then they had this.
You can't wait for the payoff to that feud, too. By the way,
absolutely, yeah. Then they had this Hao and Neo match, which was good. The match itself was good. The aftermath, though, was horrible. where Hao just couldn't cut Neo's hair because the machine wasn't working, and Neo just got up. He looked so angry and said, "Ah, come on, do your shit on your own." And he just went away, and Hao looked so lost because the guy just left.
I loved it. That was so funny to me.
It was funny.
Just a total meltdown. A terrible end to what was actually, to me, the match I was looking forward to the most on the show, yes. For the record. And it was, like you said, it was a good match. They yeah. wrestled good on there. You know, they deserve credit. Hao is such a great worker, and Neo is somebody that really deserves a lot of props because he's grown so much over the years. Even last year, I was starting to get into him and think he was solid, but I've actually started to really enjoy him in the process of this feud. Back to Hiroki, his old name, pretty much, going in yeah, there. And
his independent name.
Yeah, yes, his indie name there. He's now back to what we all know him as for so long. He's another guy that's been around for like a million years, it seems like. You know, he was a huge veteran even when I came in, like 10, 12 years ago or whatever. He was like 10, 12 years into his career at that point. He's still around today and doing good things. So, yes, very
he debuted,
funny.
He debuted in 2000.
Wow. Down there, that's awesome. Hey, he's still improving even 20 years into his career, so that's something good to say. But yes, a good match with a questionable, to say the least, payoff at the end.
Questionable payoff and questionable placing on the card, because this basically was Pro Wrestling Noah's version of To the Back, because they had this huge stipulation match with the hair and the name on the line. And then they just went to Extreme Tiger versus Seki Yoshioka.
No sense. No sense at all. Why did they do that? I think we talked about this when we previewed this card. Like, why? Why is this so far down the card compared to this?
Yeah, I had this wonderful idea of it completing the first half of the show, but nope.
No, that didn't pay off at all. Yes. Listen, Extreme Tiger is the real star here, not Hao.
Well, that match was fine. Best match of the show by a landslide was the Zebrats versus Alejandro, Daisuke Harada, and Yuta Miyawaki match. That match actually felt like a proper interpromotional match. Zebrats brought the complete heel energy from Dragon Gate, transferred it to Pro Wrestling Noah, and made the Noah trio, especially Yuta Miyawaki, he looked so great against the Zebrats team. Of course, in the end, Zebrats won the match. But man, the fire that Yuta showed in this match was incredible.
Yeah, he was great. I love the Zebrats as antagonist in this role. I agree with you. This was the match of the night. This had an energy that none of the other matches did, in my opinion, on the show, even the main event or whatever. I think that they added so much. That added so much to this. It felt like you said, a true interpromotional match. The Zebrats were just such great heel antagonists to this group that it was so good. And I was so impressed with Harada, especially, I think, because they had another match on the 30th where it was like Harada, Junta, Kotage, and Yohei versus all the luchadors. And it was a similarly very strong match, in my opinion. And Harada is such a great base with these high-speed guys that I think he's the perfect person to run this kind of feud with. I thought he was awesome. Junta totally deserves more in the promotion, a guy that has so much to him. He's been on this young rookie run for so long now that you see what kind of talent he has. I thought all of Zebrats were very good. Skywalker especially, I adore his heel work, because there was multiple spots where it would be like, so, you know, like SBK would beat Junta down or something, and you know, get the advantage, and then Shun would tag in, and then like trash talk whoever was in the ring, like, he's the one who did it, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, take that, sucker! And he's like, and it was somebody else that beat him down, you know, pretty much. It was very fun to me. I love Shun.
Shun is amazing.
Yeah,
he's become a complete maniac in Dragon Gate.
And provided it here, too, in such a great fashion. And SBK is like a complete worker, in my opinion. Alejandro, talented guy. I said this before, if it were up to me, instead of Stinger, which they cannot help but push Stinger no matter what in this company, despite how stale they are so terribly. They, like, if it were up to me, the people that I'd be building up would be like Alejandro, Yoshioka, Hao. Like, those guys should be the ones that are taking the spotlight going forward. And Miyawaki. Like, those four should be the guys that they are building to take over this division, or at least be elevated up to that level. And instead, they have no plans of that, clearly, here. But Alejandro is such a good talent, reverting to his Wrestle 1 name, has the green gear. He feels like he could be a great high flyer for the company. Junta, I thought looked good. Harada, great match all around. Just great six-man tag. Everybody should watch it.
Yeah, and as I said, main event, Hayata, once again, the junior champion. They drew 1,585 fans for that show. In Sumo Hall, that doesn't necessarily sound very good, but considering the card, I was mildly surprised that they did that well for that show.
Yeah, you definitely were on the doom and gloom side. You didn't even think they'd do 1,000.
Yeah.
But who can blame you? Look at the card. It's still not good. I mean, it's less than Tokyo Joshi Pro did at this show. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I can't really give this any kind of passing grade. This was probably a little bit higher than I expected as well. I probably wasn't as down as you were, but I wasn't high either. I was thinking this was going to be kind of a bum, like 1,300 maybe. But they exceeded that. I've always said, if you build it, they will come, but that clearly only goes so far, because it still wasn't a good drawing show by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know,
the second one did a bit better.
Yeah, you know, a little bit better. You know, again, though, this junior show, I think, was the best I could hope for. I had no, for either of these shows, really. Success wasn't even on my mind. I didn't think that was even a possibility with this card they put together. The best hope we could have for this is that it was a step towards, you know, if they start doing everything's right now, in 6 months or a year, they could go back to this and it'll do better. But I can't say I was too convinced. A match that a lot of people were talking about was the three-way match with the Luchadors, Ninja Mac and Alpha Wolf and Dragon Bane. And it was basically like any kind of like a very good spot fest type of match, you know, all flips and craziness and exactly what it needed to be. Ninja Mac getting super over with the Noah crowd.
Yes, he signed a 1-year contract with Noah now.
Yeah, congratulations to Ninja Mac for that.
Definitely.
He earned it with his performance. It's very spectacular. You have to turn your brain off, but if you do, I think there was a lot to like there.
I've seen him live in WXW2, and he's actually very fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly. And he's different for the division. He brings something that nobody else can bring to the table. I thought Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf also looked very good as well. I thought all the Luchadors looked good there. It was a good match. You know, I enjoyed it. It's the highest rated match on Cage Match, actually. But I'm with you. I actually enjoyed the six-man a bit better. But this was a good match as well, one to check out. The tag team match, somebody messaged me and said that they thought it was a great, great match. And I thought, man, this match, I agree with you. Like, what you said was very true. Like, a 12 to 15 minute match that would have been great, dragged out to this 35. I don't know why Ogawa is obsessed with these long...
These long matches, right?
Yeah, I actually hate watching him. And, like, to be honest with you, nowadays. Like, the first time he did it with Kaito,
that was great.
Yeah, it was very good. And then ever since then, he's continued and continued and continued. Yeah. And I actually hate all of his matches now, to be honest with you. And he's a talented.
They are very
guy.
Repetitive, actually.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with his talent. Ridgeway, I was happy to see. I thought he looked very good. I thought Kodage and Yohei were great baby faces on there. But like you said, it's just the match was like a loop almost. You know, there just wasn't enough meat on the bone. These guys weren't built for this 35 minute match that didn't really go anywhere interesting until the end. Like you said, it was still solid. I didn't hate it. It was the best it could have been under this format, pretty much. Like, you know, going 34 minutes with Ogawa, this was, like, the best it could have been. But it still wasn't anything. It was way better than the main event. I thought the main event wasn't good at all, to be honest with you. Very boring match. Why? What would you expect, considering who was in there? Some people actually liked it. You know, here's the thing. Their match was boring, and their way to cover it up was, oh, let's bleed. Like, okay. Like, that doesn't impress me at all, like, to be honest with you. So I wasn't into that. It didn't feel like, and most of all, you have to grade it as a main event of a show of a company with a great junior division. Like, this match should have recalled the memories of Kenta and Marufuji and, you know, Suzuki and all these guys that they had in the past, like all these legendary junior heavyweight performers. And this, to me, is like hilariously falls short, to be honest with you. I didn't think it was anywhere close to any kind of Kenta and Marufuji match.
No.
So, to me, I had no time for this, and I didn't enjoy it, in all honesty. And I thought it ended the show on a dull note, in general. The last two matches felt like they took forever.
Yeah, it's too bad, really.
The wrestling was good, some of them, like you said. From the How Neo to the three-way, I think was a pretty good show. Everything else I could have done without, honestly.
Yeah, going to the second one, Dylan, the Sumo Hall, the second leg of the Sumo Hall double shot. As I said, not seen the show yet. I'm flirting with the idea of just skipping the first six matches.
Yes, that's what you should do.
That's what I should do, and just go to the main matches. What can you say about the title matches?
All of them were like the last five matches were all good to great. Very good show, actually, in all honesty. As much as I want to critique everything, mm-hmm. to be honest with you, the last five matches were really good and very enjoyable. I thought Simon Gotch left a great impression in his match versus Funaki. He really went into his style well. You know, the match with Hideki last month with Funaki, I thought was a good match, but didn't live up to my expectations of it. Here, this overachieved to where they're kind of on the same level. And I think that, you know, this was just as good as the Hideki match the month prior, almost. They did some stuff, like, when he did that, like, vaudevillian stuff, like the cartwheel and all that, I wasn't really as into that. But him just wrestling Funaki, I thought he did a really great job. He seemed motivated. They had a really good match. You know, just no frills pro wrestling. And it was very enjoyable, in my opinion. I liked that match a lot. It's got a low rating on Cage Match, but I think some people don't like Gotch for some reason as well. I heard a lot of negative criticism of him. I don't really know anything about him, if he's like a jerk or whatever on the indies. I just know him as a wrestler. So, but I liked the match, though, I have to say. I thought it was well done for what it was. The 8-man tag match was the one I was talking about earlier with Harada, Kotage, Junta, and Yohei versus Alpha Wolf, Dragon Bane, Extreme Tiger, and Ninja Mac. So good. And they wrestled it so differently than the 3-way match, too. That shows the greatness of Harada and his friends here, that they were able to bring this to what it was. I thought this was way better than the tag title match on the previous show. And just, it was, you know, the other match had probably more spirit to it if you're a Dragon Gate fan and appreciate these guys so much. But I thought in terms of wrestling, this was every bit as good as that. So a really strong match there. The X in the Marufuji match, we have to talk about, too, we skipped over this. They changed the main event 2 days beforehand because Kazuki Fujita was in close contact with COVID or whatever.
No, he got COVID.
No, he had COVID. Okay, well, get well soon, Fujita, first of all. Hopefully he's safe. But he had to give up the title, and they moved Kaito Kiyomiya into the slot. So it would be Kaito and Go. And they changed this match around to where Kenya Okada, the forgotten man on this roster, is now teaming with Yoshiki Inamura.
Like, it has to come to this, Dylan. It has to come to one guy just not being able to appear, that Kenya Okada finally gets a big spot on a card.
And it was a here's the thing. The wrestling in this match was really good, particularly from them, like Okada and Inamura. But it wasn't... It was all about X, like Kojima coming in. It was Satoshi Kojima was the mystery man coming in from New Japan, teaming with Marufuji. Whatever history him and Marufuji have, I don't know. Like, but he's here now.
I don't think there is any.
There's not any, pretty much. They may have wrestled once in the G1 he was in.
The expectation level for the X was so huge. And they had to deliver a big one. And on the day of the show, I said that this was a letdown. Of course, Kojima, he's good and all. But compared to the expectations everybody had to have because of what they said before the show, you had to expect a quote-unquote bigger name than Satoshi Kojima. And people were quick to throw out that he was probably a replacement for whomever was scheduled for that show. But apparently, what we've learned, that he was the guy from the get-go, because otherwise they wouldn't have put him in a title match now right away if that wouldn't have been the plan. So that's really on the company to create such a hype that you can't cash in with. with a guy like Kojima.
Yeah, I totally agree with all of that. Kojima's cool and all. Like, there's nothing against him at all. It's just when you hype it as the biggest mystery man ever, which is exactly what they did, in fact, you expect a game changer. You know, and Kojima is a fine wrestler at this point, even in his 50s. And that'll be and you have a great story in that match. You know, the Cozy Lariat versus the Go On Lariat. Perfect story, pretty much. But he's not that, like you said, he's not that guy. We were speculating Kenta and Morishima and these guys, like, was our expectations. And this doesn't live up to that. You know, it just doesn't at the end of the day. And to me, the young guys were the ones that did all the great work in the match. Okada showed so much fire here. You know he must have been so motivated. Like, look, this is my chance. Yeah, like, they didn't even care about me to have me on the card, but now I've got this, like, third from the top. Like, let me go. He was throwing kicks all over the place, showing great fire. He stood out as much as Inamura did, like, maybe even more. And Inamura, obviously, anytime his power stuff came in there, you know, he's a great performer. We all love him. Both of these guys, again, like Miyawaki, but even more so, actually, in my opinion, these guys really deserve a lot more. And unfortunately, they were afterthoughts to Kojima. And what was a good match, enjoyable, have no beef with it at all. Everybody worked good, and the young guys were phenomenal, in my opinion. But, you know, with everything all told, the spotlight was on Kojima, so it's hard for me to really even get that riled up about it, you know, at this point.
No, it's... Yeah, no, not really. It's just unfortunate. And the letdown, I would say, in the way they did it.
Yeah, and that was your feeling. I think my feeling and everybody's feeling pretty much was that.
Yeah.
You know, the semi-main was the tag title match, Hideki Suzuki and Takashi Sugiura versus Katsuhiko Nakajima and Kenno. I thought a great match that, you know, when I saw this on paper, I'm thinking, man, this is going to be like a match of the year. Like Hideki versus Nakajima, that's like my match of the year. Like their singles match. It was one of the best matches of the year. This was not that. It was a great tag match, and I love Nakajima and Hideki, like the tension between them they make in the ring. They always are able to do it in a way that other people can't. Even Kenno and Sugiura were great, you know, in their role. Whenever Hideki and Nakajima are in the ring together, it's like, it's violent, and also them just standing there pacing around at each other is like violent, in a way, you know, like the way they get their emotions across in the ring is so talented between them two. And unfortunate for Nakajima to get what he's doing right now. I really thought this was going to be a spectacle or a spotlight for something to happen with him and Kenno, like some kind of breakup or some angle. I knew they weren't going to win the titles. There was no reason to even expect
that.
Yeah,
that was pretty clear, I guess.
Yeah, but you thought that there would be something going out of this. Going in. Instead, like, he got buried. Hideki, pinned him for 10 seconds.
They are just beating him. I've said it after the show. Now, as I learned, he also was pinned by Michael Elgin. They picked him as the responsible one for their supposed bad draw in Budokan. That is my explanation for it. There's no other one.
I told you last month he's not a star to them.
Like, yeah, exactly.
That's how you have to look at him now, is that he is not a star.
He is a guy.
Yeah, exactly. And that sucks because he's such a great worker.
And it's the complete opposite to what they portrayed them as last year.
He was like the main guy.
Yeah.
Of the promotion last year. He had all of the notable spotlight moments, you know, that cage match with Kidomiya.
One of the best stories last year was when he lost his hair, when he came out to at each show afterwards was him revealing of his hair grown back. That was one of the best spots of the entire show that Noah ran every single week, basically.
And a great tournament he had too in the N1, phenomenal matches. You know, the match with Kenno was really strong. Like I said, the sad thing is that ultimately, and we're going to talk about it again, I think people need to realize that it's not just one person deciding all of this. It's an entire company that is not happy, that was not happy with him as champion, which is unfortunate when you look at how talented he is and how great his run could have been. But he's not just been losing, he's been getting embarrassed constantly for some reason that nobody can really understand. And it's just a shame. I hope that there is something involved with this, because like I said, especially in this one, it's like he's laying on top of you. You know, if this is really some kind of just, you know, just out of the blue thing, why did he just lay there? Why didn't he shove his ass off of him?
And, no.
Like, why? You know, that's the one thing. Nobody's brought up that with all of this. It sucks that it happened, but I can't. Why would he just lay there? That's the one thing I can't. Because if it's me, you're laying on me. You've got like 2 or 3 seconds to get your ass off of me. Or we're doing something. And he laid there for about 10 or 11 seconds and completely humiliated him. Why did he allow that? Like, why, you know, all he had to do was shove him off. He could have even he could have even sold. Like, he could have shoved him off and rolled over if he wanted to. He didn't even have to get up. If it was me, I would have got my ass up and we would have been fighting right there. Like, I don't give a crap if it's Hideki, Shoot Fighter, like, whatever. Like, you can't take that, man. And, like, so I don't understand why that happened unless, like I said, unless this is all some kind of convoluted storyline that nobody knows about or nobody can understand yet, because they totally get it across in their matches so well, especially him and Hideki. Him and Fujita, that was just nonsense. But him and Hideki, they get their storyline across so well in their matches that I have to wonder if this isn't all some big thing. But considering it's Noah, you have to expect that it won't be, and that it's just I don't understand Nakajima's role in all this. Why is he not doing more? You know, it's a crazy thing to see.
You know, the last person that was in a comparable doghouse, I'm just using the term right now, in Japan was Yusuke Okada in All Japan.
Yeah, this kind of feels a lot like that.
He just fell from grace from one day to another. It seemed like they completely dropped him and just jumped him out.
And that guy was at least somebody who had been an undercard dude. You know, as much as I love him, and I had always
he was
loved
not
him.
Their main champion, that's true.
Yes, yeah, so Nakajima was the top star of this company for not that long ago. Like, literally 4 months ago, he was the top guy. Everyone thought he was one of the top stars in wrestling. Remember when they had the New Japan and Noah video? And everybody, you know, really liked his comment, like, oh, I don't watch New Japan, ha ha ha. And everybody liked it and thought he was, like, one of the top stars going in there. And look what they've done to him. like look where he's fallen so far in there, like, in these last few months. Why? Why is this happening? Like, because of they didn't like what he did in Budokan? You know, there has to be more to this story that nobody knows about, I feel like. Either a storyline, or there's some kind of super heat with someone we don't know.
I really think that we'll find out in a couple of months, because there usually is some smoke to the fire when you have a development like that. As I said, with Yusuke Okada, after a couple of months, we learned that he's leaving All Japan Pro Wrestling. So, will Nakajima leave Noah? Who knows? Maybe he will. Maybe he'll stick around. If I was him, I would probably leave and search for something else.
Oh, he's got. If it's me, he's got to go.
Yeah,
but he's not. The thing is, I've seen a lot of people say, "Oh, he's hyper loyal to Noah."
Why?
He came up to Kensuke's office. He's not a Noah original. Like, you know, like, it's not like he, you know, but like, wait a minute. You're like, he's not a Noah guy. He's a Kensuke office originally, like Diamond Ring, all of that. World Japan is actually, I think, where he made his debut.
He did.
Riki Choshu. So, yes, a World Pro original or World Japan original there. But no, for real, though, he's like Kensuke guy, not Noah guy. So, like, it's not, I really don't think it's that. And maybe it is. Maybe he's just grown to love Noah so much. But I feel like that's not an appropriate reason to stay on his end. But like you said, maybe there is smoke to the fire. Jumps have been more, you know, common the last few years than they have been at any point that I can remember in a long time. So, and here's the thing. He can walk in to anywhere he wants. Like, New Japan would take Nakajima if he's on the market.
He would be absolutely amazing in New Japan.
I don't know, because the way the company's booked is like, where would he slot into? But they would take him for sure. Like, sure. He'd have a great G1 run, but like I said, I can't imagine him as like a top star there, like a world champion.
Maybe not, no, but he would be a great asset for like never title level.
Yeah, and maybe that's why he's staying in Noah, because he knows maybe there's a better chance of him being a champion here than there
big
is
big fish small pond thing. Yeah,
yeah, and I mean there's still a relatively large company in Japan. You know, again, you mentioned the draw or whatever earlier. About 2,000 fans, about 500 more people went to this show than the junior show, which is still not, again, this was like 700, 800 people less than what Stardom did in two shows at the same building a month ago. So it's not a, like a fantastic number by any means anyway. But considering all of the turmoil going on right now for this show, it's hard to be super critical of it with everything going on there. And you know there probably wasn't going to be any walk-up because they had to change the main event either.
Right.
So, you know, it was fine. Like, it's not anything we have to go crazy over. But regardless, it's a relatively big company. And maybe he thinks, look, I'm going to weather this storm now. We're going to do whatever we're going to do with all of this stuff going on. And maybe in a year's time, maybe there'll be new bookers, which he may have been right on already. Maybe there may be some new people in charge, maybe some new philosophies.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Is that the thing? I was wondering. I saw the news that Nosawa's contract apparently ran out. Nosawa's contract with the company apparently ran out. So, Dylan, is Nosawa out of the company?
Well, according to their website, him and his whole faction is out of the company at this moment.
I'm still under the assumption that that is some convoluted storyline as well.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why that's my biggest red flag with all of this is that Hideki thing. It's like, why would you allow this? Like that makes no sense to me, and I can't stop thinking that this is all part of. Because remember what I've been saying. I've been saying this. That they think bad publicity is good publicity.
Right.
Like, why else would you post that video of Michael Elgin on Twitter? Because you're going to get...
It doesn't make any sense, yes.
Because you're going to get hundreds of people quote-tweeting it, dunking on you. That's yes. publicity for you. That's what they want you to do, people
right.
out there.
Right.
So, you know, like, keep that in mind. Like, they're aiming for that. You know, obviously. Like, that's the only explanation. Like you said, doing it expecting good things is not... smart at all. There's nothing to that. So they it's clear to me that they think that doing all this stuff and irritating all of their fans is actually some kind of good thing. Although clearly, looking at their numbers recently, that might not be the case as it's turned out. But regardless, you have to think that they, you know, I can't rule it out. Maybe Nosawa is gone. And I actually think it's very possible because I think Muto is going to take over and get booking power.
That could be. Yes.
Like, I think that's go back years ago. I said that was the end game. I said that was the end game. From the start when he was beating Kaito, I said Muto is like everyone's blaming Nosawa, but the ultimate one pulling the string is Muto. I said that.
Always has been.
And it always has been. Like, and I've said that all along, and now it's coming to pass. I really believe it. But your story of like it being some kind of goofy work, like who knows? Maybe Nosawa and Peristamal will jump into like break into a Noah event or something in the future, and that will be their big goal. But and that would get publicity at least. Him leaving, a lot of people were talking about that this morning. We're talking like literally a few hours after this news came out, by the way. But, you know, a lot of people were talking about that. That's giving them publicity. It's clear that somebody somewhere in Noah, or maybe everyone, is just a huge mark for any kind of talk about them for whatever they can get, good, bad, or otherwise. And they've lost the plot so much that the promotion is impossible. Because, look, this main event, Kaito and Go... this was an incredible match. Like, this was such a fantastic performance. Like, right up there with Hideki Nakajima, one of the best matches of the year. So good. Kaito, such a tremendous performer. Such a great fire. Like, 30 minutes went by. They completely filled it. It was the opposite of that tag match. They completely filled this 30 minutes so well. Hard-hitting. Tons of heart. They made it seem like, to the best of their abilities, that this was a big match. Although, in reality, you knew Kaito wasn't going to win, so it wasn't. But they made it. They did everything they could to make it that way. They worked so hard. Go, with his offense, was great. They gave Kaito, had him kick out of so much stuff. It was like, if this were in All Japan 1994, it would totally fit in as a match. The style is a little bit different, but the way they formulated the match was so similar that it was every bit on the level of those classic matches. And unfortunately, it won't be remembered because of all the bullcrap going on right now, and because how can you be emotionally invested in anyone in this company at the moment? Because you have Okada and Inamura, nothing. Nakajima, Kenno going nowhere. Kaito going nowhere. Who is there to rally behind? Like Nakajima last year, people hooked onto him and latched onto his story. Who is that guy right now in Noah? Kojima? I don't think so, because he's not even a company guy. Secondly, he's over 50. Thirdly, he's not that guy. Like, there's just no way around it. So where are we going with this whole storyline? Where are we going? I'll tell you. Kojima is winning this title off of Goshi Ozaki, and he's going to main event against Keiji Muto, and then Muto is getting the title back, probably after he becomes the booker, because that's what this was all about.
Fantastic.
And what do we do with that, Strig?
I don't know, man. It just feels like everything, as you said, is running in circles and basically nowhere.
Even if you're a fan of Muto, how can you be happy with this
character? I don't know.
And Nosawa deserves blame. Nosawa was not a good booker. Okay, let's just put that out there right now. In no sense am I saying that. But I've always said that it's more to it than that, and that's very simplistic thinking to blame one person when there are so many obvious issues up and down the company. And everyone needs to be held accountable, and particularly the company as a whole should have been held accountable. But instead, everybody was talking about, oh, Nosawa was a mark, and not addressing the actual problems in the company. And now that's where we're at right now, because now he's gone, and the same problems are still there, and it's probably going to get worse, in my opinion. And nobody's going to even look back on all of that, and because they're not being fair about it. They're like, they weren't fair, and they were wrong, and this is why things have ended up how they have. And now Go is going to be the next one sacrificed, because out of everybody, he's been the one that hasn't actually been geeked out. Even with a losing streak, he still looks better than all these other guys.
Yeah, he does.
And now he's going to lose to Kojima, probably with his own move, you know? And so he's going to be taken
out. Oh, no.
So who is left? Who is left in this company, Striga?
Michael Elgin.
And they moved him. The good thing is, I guess you could say, because I know that you thought that he would have a title match, and I thought he would too, that this was kind of like a number one contender match with Kitamiya. Mm-hmm. But they've moved him to a tag team with him. So yeah. I think that's at least a little bit better than, you know, him going for title shots or anything like that, I will say. But they're always going to be facing this uphill battle, and I feel like they know it, that whenever they post something, especially on the English account, if they do that, you are going to get what you're going to get. And it's tough right now, man, you know, at the end of the day, because there really isn't nobody. And the juniors, again, Stinger, as always. We'll see if there's any differences going forward. Like I said, this whatever reaction with Nosawa is going to be told pretty quickly, you know, within the next month or two. Like right. You said, maybe it'll be a work, or maybe there's going to be some big changes, and we can all point to that and be like, damn, maybe Nosawa was a bigger issue. But we have to wait and see on that. But like you said, ultimately, I think you need a complete revamp of this whole company right now, because I think they're in a big hole. They've dug themselves, and it's amazing, because they felt like they were on such a good path at the end of last year. When that New Japan show got announced, a lot of people were hyped up about them, the company.
Yeah, they've fallen from grace very quickly, but to their own responsibility.
Exactly. Like, nobody to blame but themselves in this situation. And it's a damn shame, because look at this wrestling. These five matches were a great last five matches just in wrestling. This is better than any other company could do with their last five matches that I can remember in terms of men's wrestling. But it's so unlikable, and it's impossible to be emotionally invested. That's the worst part of all of this.
These guys
are great wrestlers, and that they're
I'll probably watch it, but I just don't feel any hype about it. There's shows, like, for example, I made sure to get up at 5:30 in the morning to catch the Champion Carnival final live. I made sure to watch DDT in New Japan this past weekend because I wanted to, but I don't feel a necessity to watch the Noah show.
I think many people would agree with that. And that's the problem. Like I said, the wrestling, spectacular, but no emotional investment. And that's not going to get you very far in the modern world of wrestling where, you know, maybe the wrestling won't be as good, but you're going to get great wrestling through so many corners at the end of the day. The emotional investment is going to draw you. And that's why you're saying you spent time to wake up for the Champion Carnival final of a company that has their own Kaito Kiyomiya, and compare what they're doing with him compared to what Noah's doing with Kaito.
It's night and day.
Exactly. That's why one company is doing great, and the other one is doing... And the one company did the most they've done during the pandemic, during their Champion Carnival final show, and the other one's doing what they're doing.
Yeah. Right. So I just want to talk about some of the core matches that DDT ran on their Max Bump 2022. Mega Max Bump. I'm sorry. Mega Max Bump.
You can't forget the Mega Stringer. But let me tell you something right now. I'm stressed out right now. Thinking about this Noah, man.
I'm sorry. I just tried to move on as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I just needed a second. Okay. Let's take a moment.
All right. Let's take a breather.
Okay. Well, let's go to DDT.
We'll breathe together, Dylan.
Okay. We're breathing. We're all breathing together. Yes. The Eastern Lariat family come together with us. And I'm carrying your frustrations on my shoulders right now because I know you feel me on this one. I know you feel me.
All right.
Okay, let's go to DDT.
Let's go. Mega Max Bump 2022 in Yokohama. They drew 835 fans. Not a good crowd, actually, for Yokohama Budokan. We've seen better in that building. But a show that I thought was very good. I am usually the high man on these DDT shows, so I enjoyed this card very much. And I just want to point out some of the key matches. I know that Rob is incredibly high on Mao versus Asuka, as am I. I thought that they had an amazing chemistry. They showed great fire. I think that Rob has seen something in Mao that always was there, but was hidden carefully under his goofiness, if you know what I mean, Dylan. But in the last couple of months, Mao really has shown that he is an incredible performer and really lives up to the potential that people have said he has for years now. And that that showed in his DDT Universal title match against Asuka, rated at 8.19 right now. It was a great match, I thought. But I do have one match that I enjoyed more on this card.
And what was that?
I think it was the same match that you enjoyed the most on that card, Dylan. It was the Harashima and Hikaru Sato versus Katsusada Iguchi and Yukio Sakaguchi match.
Yes, that match was a phenomenal match.
But what were your thoughts on the Mao and Asuka one?
Yeah, you know, Mao and Asuka, I knew what kind of match it was going to be going in there, and I think it's the perfect match. I think this match, more than any other, Mao and Asuka, represents DDT the most, because you have so much stuff here. You would not see this match in most other companies, especially not any of the mainstream ones. But they have Mao versus Asuka. You have comedy stylings and also great wrestling.
Great high flying.
Yeah, great high flying too, especially. Mao has always been an interesting high flyer in a lot of ways. He seems like he's a guy with a lot of ideas, you know, in wrestling. You know, we've done stuff with the hardcore and stuff before, which I usually enjoy him more if he's doing some crazy, like, hardcore match than, like, him just wrestling. But here with Asuka, you know, Asuka, very tremendous talent as well. So you get all of them in there. They got to tell a little bit of a story with those two being so close and friends and all that stuff there. They really incorporated a lot of that, I felt, in there. And I thought that they had, a really good match, I would say. Nothing that would ever, you know, like I would say I loved it or it was one of my favorite matches, but it was a really good match. And I really appreciated the effort of the two to combine a lot of styles together in the match, especially when it came to the storyline between them, that they were able to work the story into the match so well as well.
Right, right, absolutely. And for the match that we liked the most on that card, man, it was just so great to see Hikaru Sato back in DDT. They made a big deal about him returning after years and years, teaming with Harashima. He had this great exchange of kicks with Yukio Sakaguchi. Amazing stuff there, hard kicks to the back. That was great chemistry between the two. But man, Harashima and Katsusada Higuchi, they've been going against one another over the last couple of months, with Higuchi strongly gaining more reputation on the roster and gaining a more foothold into the upper main event scene, I would say, in DDT. And the way he ran him over like a car, Dylan, like a car would run over a child. Higuchi ran him over with his brain claw and just pushed him to the ground like he was this little fly on the wall. That looked so incredible. Amazing finish.
great move. I've always loved that move, but never better than it was here. I totally agree with you. Higuchi is just the man right now. I love everything about him, what he's doing. But nobody is the man more than Hikaru Sato, the best junior heavyweight in the world right now. I was so happy to see this match, but I thought he was so good. And this is something I was thinking about ever since, you know, earlier we were talking about the Azumi match and how it was really great, but I missed the old sense of struggle they used to have. If you want a sense of struggle, Sato is the one to watch here because he is smooth while also being very realistic as well. He's like, he somehow masters the art of being, of having struggle, but also being smooth at the same time. He's like one of the best ever at that, I feel like.
He is amazing.
Yeah, and like the stuff he was doing when he was going into a submission work was great. I thought so intricate and complex, but he made it look so easy and well done. And the striking stuff is what everybody will talk about because that was all awesome, of course. But I loved every bit of the work between all of four of them. Hiroshima felt like he was so motivated here, being back with an old friend. He was on his highest level, in my opinion. I thought this was a great match. Like, I'm so glad I watched it because I really wasn't even excited about the show at all, to be honest with you. And I had the show on. I watched it technically up to this point. But it's like, I can't tell you anything that happened on any of the other matches before this one, you know?
Yeah, most of the matches were fine.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it, because I don't remember any of them, so they could have been the greatest match in the world. But it's like, I was so uninterested in everything. But then this match came on, and I was like, holy crap, this is an incredible match. And I was so into it throughout the rest of the show that it carried me through the last four matches. So this match was just a great match. So glad we talked about it, too.
And Hikaru Sato is not only a great wrestler, Dylan, he's also an incredible comedic talent. They ran a hearted show over the weekend as well in Shinkiba, I think. And they announced a crowd of five people. Huge but they had an explanation for it. Because, of course, Hikaru Sato is the owner of Hearted. The explanation was that the organizer had a black eye and couldn't see properly.
Brilliant.
Love it.
I love this man. Like one of my favorite wrestlers right now. Even in that match, though, he actually had a little bit of comedic timing just because of the way he sold his facial expressions when it was necessary, especially like with Higuchi and everything, was so over the top that it made me laugh a little bit. Not there, but just a great, wonderful person and performer. I love Hikaru Sato so much, but four of them deserve praise.
Absolutely. What do you think about the main? Tetsuya Endo defending the QOD Openweight title against Yuki Ueno.
Too long, in my opinion. This match kind of dragged for me, which is a lot of Endo matches.
I don't know why they have come away from their 17 to 25 minute QOD title matches.
It's a real shame. It's a real shame because I think. But I want to say though,
Dylan, I thought that it was too long as well.
There was a lot to like about it though, which is where I was going with that. But yes.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Okay. Continue.
Yeah, there was a lot to like about it at the end of the day, and I think they have an interesting story between these two as kind of like reverse. I think these guys actually match up a lot better than Takeshita and Endo. So I think that they have a lot more in common as rivals, in my opinion. So I like that they're already going to this, already setting up what they were doing there. Obviously, when you had some, like just the execution of the moves, and the moves were really good, you know, and there was a lot of action here. It's not like they, you know, ruined everything with the match or anything like that. Even the stuff that, like when Ueno missed the moonsault, his selling I thought was really good of that.
And that is what I took away from the match.
Yeah, yeah, go on.
And that is why I probably liked it the most from any KOD title match in recent history, in the recent months, I would say. Ueno's selling, not only of in that situation that you mentioned, but throughout the match, Tetsuya Endo frequently attacked Ueno's back, and Ueno sold it so well. For example, when he couldn't hold the bridge when he was going for his what's he calling his move, the run high.
That's the
I can't name the move right now. The WR.
Yeah, the WR.
He couldn't hold the bridge. He couldn't hold the bridge for some other moves. He couldn't really cover the guy because he was holding his back and he was in pain. But he wasn't in pain for the entirety of the match. He could still do his stuff. But then again, the pain in his back caught up to him and he couldn't move anymore. So that was done very well. But then, unfortunately, it ended up being just a regular Tetsuya Endo finishing stretch, ending it with the shooting star press. So that was unfortunate.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And I love Ueno as a performer, and hopefully he gets a spot in the sun. He will one day, in all likelihood.
Yeah.
But Endo right now is the guy with burning and everything like that. You understand it, but I agree with you. I'm not a huge fan of these. I will say this. I liked it better than the Takeshita match. Like I said, I think they have much better. Him and Ueno have much more to go with in their matches. Besides that, the Takeshita matches as champion, he had Okabayashi, which I would definitely take over this. Brooks, I also thought was better than this. And Akiyama, which I also thought was better than this. So Endo hit one match better than his Takeshita match, at least out of one. We'll see going forward. I'm not super into Endo. There's no other way to say it.
He feels like a project that is not complete yet. Because it feels like that he is going in so many different directions and he can't pick one.
I kind of understand what you're saying.
He's the champion right now. He is the guy behind Burning. He's the guy that brought Burning back. And he is in this way, he is trying to take the footsteps to get in the footsteps of Jun Akiyama and Kenta Kobashi. But he's not wrestling in any way
like
the two of them. Because the guy that is wrestling like the two of them is actually his rival, Konosuke Takeshita.
Yeah, exactly. He should have been the one that leaves
Burning. He basically still is the Tetsuya Endo that he was in Damnation, just now that he's portraying a babyface. So there are so many different strings that have not yet come together.
I don't think he's ever going to change his style of wrestling.
Like, me neither.
To me neither. More like Burning. I think he's completed in his wrestling style, at least. This is what he is what he is at this point. And like I said, it's not like he's some terrible performer or anything like that. He's a good one, but miscast in this role. I thought he was miscast in Damnation, honestly. Like, what was wrong with his original babyface run? Like, that needed to be changed so much.
I think there was nothing wrong about it. I just think they wanted to turn him heel because Takeshita was going to be the babyface.
That's the thing. Yeah, you're right. You're right on that one. But I just feel like he's been miscast for a majority of his career at this point. If he were just to be able to do something more natural, I think it would be great. I'm sure he probably enjoys this, too. I mean, this is cool. Like, bringing Burning back, being the leader of a legendary group. Who wouldn't like that? It just doesn't fit him that well at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't think being champion fits him well right now, either, as it is. I think he'd be better. I don't know. Because, like, they love Endo, and he's been the champion before, and they're doing it again, and it's fine. It's a different look. I don't have any problem with it, per se, but it's just not something I personally is into as something else. And, Ueno, I think, has a lot of good to him, too. I think Ueno is what Endo could be if he weren't always doing these things that he's doing on there. And Ueno is somebody I'm much more interested in coming out of this than Endo, even.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But what do you think? Who do you think would be a better QD champion right now?
Yusuke Okada.
Yeah,
sure. He should have led Burning on there. If you were going to do it for real on there, but right now at DDT, it feels like Endo's going to have a pretty long run, to be honest with you. So I'm not anticipating a title change anytime soon.
Mm.
You look at the roster, someone like Higuchi. I don't even like saying that though, because he never gets his day. You know, like we always say, oh, this is his time, and then it's like it never works out. You know, so I feel even dirty even suggesting that, even though it's what I would want.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, but other than that, you know, right now I just think that it's Endo's time. Maybe they're going to do something with Mao, build him up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that. He feels like a guy.
I hope so much that him and Asuka win the tag title.
That would be cool.
I don't think that is very realistic because the Kalamari Drunken Kings, Chris Brooks and Masahiro Takanashi, they are very early on in their run as champions, so I don't anticipate it necessarily, but I would love it.
What a weird booking of those tag titles with a Disaster Box team that happened with that tournament and all that. It felt like they really lost a lot of momentum.
Yeah, that happened, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it felt like they really lost a lot of momentum going in there.
Yoshimura is on the undercards now.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. DDT is just not a company I'm super invested in general. This kind of stuff we're talking about is part of the reason why.
I see. Yes,
Sato should be the champion. Like, put him as the champion. He's the best worker. Like, go on.
I wouldn't be opposed to another Hiroshima run, actually.
That would be good. I'd be into that. Like, honestly, you know, he had the title not super, super long ago. Maybe, like, 2 years ago at this point.
Out. Yes. Last time he was champion was in 2019, yeah. Early 2020.
Okay, yeah, so about 2 years ago at this point. I wouldn't mind that. I think Endo's going to have a longer reign. And I point blank at the end of the day. In 6 months, or maybe Peter Pan time, we will have a more realistic view of somebody. Who would face him realistically in the Peter Pan main event?
I'm guessing, since they are building him up so strongly, is that Higuchi is winning the King of DDT.
Okay, that's a dangerous game to play for the reasons I said, but I hope you're right.
I know.
Is that realistic, or is that what you want?
I mean, they are telling me that he is one of the guys on the app now. That's what they are telling me.
He's mentoring a guy as well.
He's mentoring a guy. He's pinning Hiroshima.
That's true. What if Okatani won?
I don't anticipate that right now.
That would be interesting. That would be an interesting story for Higuchi. Like, have somebody surpass you. Probably not this year. I think Mao.
If that happens, he is full DDT Goto.
Yeah, I mean, he's already DDT Goto, though.
I know. But Goto also won tournaments, Dylan, so why not?
That's true. That was his thing before they completely
beat him.
Like, was that he was a tournament expert.
Before he was beat by Chase Owens. That was his thing, right?
Well, I mean, that was his thing like 10 years ago, you know, before all this stupid stuff started. But yes, that's a very low point of his career, is getting pinned by Chase Owens.
But realistically, I could see a Tetsuya Endo versus Katsusada Higuchi match with some nice burning versus eruption matches leading up to it.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'd be into that, honestly. Like, I hope you're right. I always hope you're right on this one. I think Mao feels like the one they're going to get.
Yeah, I was thinking about him as well. Could be.
I like your idea a lot better, though. So I hope you're right.
Wow. He would have to drop the Universal title before that.
Maybe have a unification match, because they don't need the super title.
Yeah, that's true. That's necessary.
So yeah, like that's my ultimate end game. Just get rid of one of the titles going in there.
They still have the Extreme title still around as well.
That's true. Well, Universal or Extreme, either one. But one of them has to go, in my opinion.
Universal.
Okay, yeah, I see we're on the same page then. A little bit. Maybe Higuchi can win the Universal title and then face Endo and have a unification.
I see. Yeah, but on the topic of that, the King of DDT actually finishes on July 3rd, and then there is Wrestle Peter Pan on August 20 in Ottawa.
Should be good.
Yes. Dylan, I know that's a hard cut, and that's going to be a hard cut for the listeners as well, but I had an incredible long day, and I just can't hold up my level of concentration anymore. So I'm offering you and the listeners this now. We're going to do an additional show probably on Sunday or Monday, where we'll be talking All Japan Pro Wrestling, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and maybe Big Japan, if I have watched it until then. We'll see about that. But I'm really sorry. I'm done for today.
Who knows what Noah will do?
Who knows?
As well, that is the great thing about Noah, at least, is that you never know what's going to happen next going in there. But yeah, I think that rant might have taken enough a long time. But thank you for taking the time anyway. You stretched it out. I'm very sad that we didn't talk about the Champion Carnival because I was so hyped.
We will. We will do that.
Yes, but
just a matter of days, actually.
Yes. Okay. Well, should be fun. Cannot wait to get into all that. New Japan has some silliness going on their shows. We talk about that. Maybe you know.
We'll also get into that. No, we'll get to that, but just not today. It's just,
not today. Yeah, I'm previewing the show in my head.
Okay.
Sunday, right now. But yes, we have some New Japan stuff going on there. Should be fun. Always love doing it. So consider this like a secret bonus episode, actually.
Yeah,
don't think
yeah.
about it like we're cutting it off. Think about it as a bonus episode.
That is correct. That is correct. It's going to be a bonus ride with the Eastern Lariat. I think we've put so much on the front on this show. There was an incredible ride through everything in Japanese pro wrestling that sometimes the main topics have to be discussed in a different setting on a new show, on a different show, and that's what we're going to do in a couple of days now. So, yeah. Dylan, I also want to thank you for taking the time and for riding with me through Golden Week right now.
Ah, that's right. Golden Week, such a big stage for so many things. And I cannot wait to do it again. I'm actually secretly happy that we're doing another show together because
yeah,
I miss you when we're gone, Strigger.
I miss you as well. I miss discussing everything with you. Of course, I do. And, you know, if we were doing this right now, we would probably cut some things short. And I do think that both All Japan and New Japan deserve a lengthy discussion. So consider this Golden Week Part 1.
Yes.
Golden Week Part 2 will definitely be coming. So for this episode, I want to thank you all for listening, and I'm going to say goodbye.
Sayonara.
Streaming worldwide, this is the MLWRadio.com network.